Hello and welcome to XR Connections, episode number 5. XR Connections is a podcast about extended reality, augmented reality, virtual reality, mixed reality. That's XR, AR, VR, MR. And this week we're going to focus on one aspect of XR, that's XR and its educational uses. So first I'm going to highlight XR in learning, and then following that we're going to have an interview with Emily Jolie of Ape Lab, a company that is bringing creation tools for AR and VR into the classroom. First, I'd like to talk a little bit about XR in learning. In August, I went to the Augmented Reality and Virtual Reality Expo in Boston. That was the first time that I tried the Oculus Quest. I went with a good friend of mine, former colleague, Michael Bavaro, who is a great storyteller and documentary filmmaker. And we were excited about what we had seen. We're riding down after the event in the elevator, and a fellow joined us in the elevator and joined in the conversation. We walked out and we ended up standing on the sidewalk and continuing that conversation for a good 10 minutes afterwards. And this fellow turns out to be Hakan, and I'm going to approximate this pronunciation of his last name, is Hakan Satiroglu. Now, Hakan is a XR evangelist. He is the chairman and founder of EdTech Times, and he is the leader of the XRinLearning.com website and the XR in Learning Global Summit. The XR in Learning Global Summit is being held this October, October 28th. It's the third annual summit for XR enthusiasts who want to know more about what is going on in learning, training, and education. It is focused only on XR and learning best practices. The event is going to be held again in Boston on October 28th at Boston University. And the program is covering all phases in XR and learning, and they're going to have feature stories from leaders in enterprise, education, and the XR industry about their experiences in evangelizing, educating, piloting, funding, and scaling. They have a great lineup of speakers. I'm not going to go through all the names, but there are representatives from Fidelity Investments, PTC, Harvard University, Boston University, Boston's Children's Hospital, Verizon, WXR Fund, Arkansas Department of Education, Microsoft, Immersive VR Education, University Ventures, ThingLink, XR and Learning, Brown University. It looks like a really great lineup of speakers and a great place for people who are interested in this to meet and learn from each other. The XR and Learning website is another great resource. I would recommend you sign up for their newsletter. There are also webinars archived there that you can view. And there is a report from last year's event. Now, this was called XR in EDU formerly. Now it's been name has changed to XR and Learning, but last year's report on adoption trends in K-12 and higher education is available for you to download, and I'm sure they'll be updating with newer reports as time goes on. So check out XR and Learning. There's the XR and Learning Global Summit, and also go on LinkedIn and find and follow Hakan, that's H-A-K-A-N, Satiroglu, S-A-T-I-R-O-G-L-U. I will have all of this information in the show notes. Next, we have an interview with Emily Jolie of Ape Lab. I became aware of Ape Lab at one of the AWE nights in New York City, run by Ori Inbar, and I saw Ape Lab give a couple of demos, one of their creation tool, and of two of the projects. Now, Ape Lab is working on developing tools for kids and teachers to be able to collaborate and build AR and VR experiences. They call their toolkit Spatial Stories. So following is an interview with Emily that we held at the R Lab in Brooklyn. I'm here with Emily Jolie of Ape Lab. We are here at the R Lab in Brooklyn's Navy Yard. Emily, tell us a little bit about yourself and Ape Lab.
Yeah, it's nice to see you. So I'm the CEO and co-founder of Ape Lab. Ape Lab is a software company working in AR and VR. We create content and tools, so we're trying to democratize the way AR and VR content creation is made.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit about myself.
Yes, please.
I founded the company in Switzerland, in Geneva, mm-hmm. with two of my best friends and also university mates, mm-hmm. actually, in 2013. So it's been quite a while, actually.
Yeah. 2013?
Yeah.
That's early.
For this industry,
it is
early.
It was, yes.
The way it started is kind of interesting. So my background is interaction design, and so it is for my two other co-founders.
Mm-hmm.
And we have different backgrounds, but I come from more like communication and animation. Sylvan, who's the second co-founder, comes from art, and Maria comes from product. We're mm-hmm. all designers.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've been working with new technologies a lot, and specifically on trying to find ways to tell stories in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And my first encounter with some sort of immersive storytelling was with my phone.
Really?
Which... For the first time, iPhone had gyroscopes, which
yes.
they didn't necessarily have before.
Uh-huh.
And we figured we could use this gyroscope to tell a story in 360, and that wasn't the case before. Like, you could pick up your phone and use it as a magic window, and now that's very common, but
right.
at the time, kind of no one had... Everyone was super surprised, like, is that a special phone? Are you using a special
uh-huh.
tech that we don't know about?
Yeah.
What's in your phone? Like, yeah, you can do it on yours. Just you know, you just have to use the sensors. So it kind of started like that. We built a interactive story in 360 that was interactive. And since we're all designers, we needed tools to make it quicker and make it more efficient because we had a deadline. It was for a bachelor's project, actually.
Oh, really?
One of us. And
okay.
he had like 2 months to do it. And he's like an artist, no idea how to code anything. So
mm-hmm.
we thought, yeah, we can help you and create a little tool that will help you, create this story in Unity and on the phone, etc.
Mm-hmm.
That started like that. So we created a tool in that project that kind of came out also in the U.S. So Wired picked it up, the New York Times picked it up,
mm-hmm.
and we thought, man, there might be something there. So let's get together, create a company that will focus on emerging technologies and storytelling, and we started kind of like that.
And that's how Ape Lab began?
Yeah, that's how it began.
Okay, and now you're here at the R Lab in Brooklyn. Tell us a little bit about how you got here and what the program is all about.
Yeah, so we haven't been around for 6 years, but our specific goal with R Lab is to implement the tools that we created initially internally into schools and into education program on the East Coast. So that's
mm-hmm.
specifically why we're here and why we're doing this accelerator. So our lab is an accelerator. It's the first cohort. So there's six startups that were invited to come out of, I don't know, a couple hundred of applications.
Mm-hmm.
And we all do different things, but
mm-hmm.
we're all using AR VR in some capacity. So
mm-hmm.
there's really different types of software, of tools, and we're the one creating software for kids to build AR and VR content in the
right.
team.
So I saw a couple of the demos of some of the things that the kids have created. Describe some of those experiences, what you've already done, and what you're seeing the kids do once they get their hands on on these tools.
Yeah. So we did a pilot in summer with a school in San Diego, in partnership also with a school in China. So it was mixed, kids from China, kids from the US, and most of them never heard of Unity or anything, that never tried it, didn't know what it was. So the pilot was getting, they had 4 days to create a virtual reality experience and then 4 days to create an AR experience.
Okay.
From scratch. The subject was United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So they had to choose one and then iterate on a topic and, you know, create an experience around it. And a couple of examples. So one of the teams did a gardening simulator, which is actually super cool. And you learn how to, you know, basically make a garden that's sustainable without using pesticides and things like that. So the kids literally created all the 3D models themselves, and then they kind of coded the experience using our tool in like a day or two and created a full game out of it. So.
And now it's a virtual reality game or augmented reality?
So the gardening simulator is a virtual reality game. Mm-hmm. And then on the second week we did augmented reality experiences with the same tool. So it's kind of cross-platform.
So your tools allow the kids, once they've made their 3D assets, then they do those in Unity? For the most part, or?
So it depends on, some kids know how to 3D model, some of them rarely, but we use, in our workshops, we usually use Google Blocks as the tool to create the assets, and then they can import them in Unity, and then we have a Unity plugin that allows them to build all of the interactivity within their game. So decide if there's audio, when that audio is going to be launched, if I can grab this object, what happens if I put this other object here? All of that interaction part, coding part, is simplified. It's super easy. It's drag and drop. So that's what they've been using so far. And we're working on a new product now that will be implemented into a pilot in schools in January. So we have more software coming.
Great. Great. Tell me a little bit about the augmented reality approach that some of the kids did in the pilot program.
Yeah. So there were four teams. They all chose very different subjects. Some of them chose to work around tornadoes or how to save yourself if a tornado comes in AR. So that was kind of a fun one because they literally created a tornado and the tornado had to have a behavior turning around you in AR. So it was a great game to do in a park. And you had to kind of run away from it and catch up food. And they would also give you kind of real tips on how to. So it was a mix like of something really fun and something that would be a little bit instructional on how to do things. But that one was fun. Another one is about cleaning the ocean. So you have a big kind of fish, a very big fishbowl, a very large fish. We can turn around it, and you have to remove the trash from the ocean. So those kind of different things. A group worked on war, which was a more complicated subject.
Yes.
That was also a very interesting one.
And you said all of these experiences were created within 4 days. So the kids are really picking this up really quick. You find that they find that your tool's intuitive, and once they get shown how to use them. And then how about the teachers as well?
Yeah, so I mean, the Unity is hard for kids in any case, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't like the interface. The fact that you're in a flat interface and you have to move things around with, you're just the principle of being in front of a computer with a keyboard and a mouse and having to move things around in that way, you really don't like it. So our plugin makes it super easy, but it's still Unity, right? So the tool that we're working on now is our Unity plugin, the same, but inside VR directly. So they don't even need to open Unity. So that's what we're working on now with the pilot. So it works on the Oculus Quest. So you don't even need a computer. You just put the Quest on. It is similar to apps like Tiltbrush or Google Blocks, but instead of designing models, you're actually creating the interaction.
So you're creating the interaction, the gaming, the storytelling in the device that's ultimately going to use it.
Yeah, and then you can play it directly. So these are the things we're working on. And that all is also to help the teachers who want to deploy these classes. So teachers have a hard time. They don't have a lot of time, right, to deal with the technicalities of having headsets and Unity and all of that. So we try to help them by building curriculum and onboarding, and all of that will be in the pilot that we're launching in January. So there's already online on our platform a lot of information on how to start VR you know, VR AR app.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're working specifically for the teachers so that it's super easy for them to be able to deploy that in classes.
Okay, yeah. Tell us a little bit more about that. How do teachers, educators, institutions, how do they find out more and what is available for them now that they could actually start using right now?
Yeah, so currently they can go on our spatialstories.net. They can download our plugin. And
Spatial Stories?
Yeah.
Okay.
They can download our plugin. And also on that website, there's a way to register if they're interested in working with us on the education pilot. And that pilot will be in partnership with one of the big hardware partners. I can't tell who yet, but it will. And it will start in January, and we'll probably take maybe 10 to 20 schools in to start working on that. So
10 to 20 schools in, so they should get in contact with you now.
Yeah,
very good. Well, thank you, Emily. Is there anything else you'd like to add about what you're doing, the challenges you see out there? I'd love to hear what you think the future of storytelling is showing us right now, where you think it's going.
God, very far, I hope.
Yeah.
I'm biased already, right? I tell stories using VR and AR since forever, but
yeah.
I think there's once the headset gets a little easier to, you know, put on, it's just magical what we can do with these things, right? And mm-hmm. the reason why we're also so interesting in putting it in the hands of kids right now is they have so much to say.
They do.
Don't they?
They have great imaginations.
And they have a lot to say, and they don't and they don't always get, you know, the ability to express themselves in the way they want to. And I think just integrating game design in general, storytelling into schools, using, you know, VR, which is super easy and intuitive to create stuff, that will help them also, you know, get ready for college and all those things.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, storytelling in VR and AR is awesome. We do different. We've done also like an augmented reality adventure in Europe, one of mm-hmm. the largest one in Europe so far, with a city called St. Moritz. So
mm-hmm.
it's in the mountains. It's very cool. And there's about 15 locations that are going to be set up throughout this year and next year.
Oh.
And it's storytelling. So you go on each station, and on each station you get a new experience.
And
pretty like high-end AR.
Oh, I look forward to seeing that. That's coming out soon?
Yeah, they're piloting it right now, but you have to go there, so you have to get...
Oh, I have to go to St. Moritz.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, though. It is very nice, but it's something we might be able to replicate.
What's the best time of year to go to St. Moritz?
It depends. If you like to ski, you go in the winter, it's beautiful. It's one of the most... Like, if you picture the most beautiful mountains in your mind, it's there. Yeah.
Very good.
So
I like to watch skiers.
Yeah, you can go in... Summer is cool, too. You get the sun... And you don't get the snow. So, whichever you prefer.
Emily, how do people get in touch with Ape Lab? They go to your website. It's apelab.io.
Yeah, easiest way to get in touch with us.
Io, and follow them on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, a lot of Instagram, actually, and Twitter as well.
Very good. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing what you do next.
Thanks.
And that does it for episode 5 of XR Connections podcast. You can see the show notes at marsandmercury.com. Go to the podcast section. The podcast is published through Anchor, which is a great tool for making a podcast and publishing a podcast. We record this with Focusrite and a Scarlett microphone, and it's on a Mac using Logic Pro 10. The music is by Dr. Mars. Thank you for listening.